desiring interest in your prayers as I stand before you tonight. Thankful for what we have already enjoyed in the service of God. Everything good in our lives comes by His grace, comes by His power and His mercy that's been shown to us. And I think we can all together tonight say the Lord has been so good to me. And we want to praise His name. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I have a passage of Scripture that's come on my mind that I trust is of the Lord that I'd like to read in your hearing, found in the Roman letter, the book of Romans, the writings of the Apostle Paul to the brethren at Rome. I'd like to call your attention to the 13th chapter of the book of Romans. I'd like to begin reading tonight at verse 8, and we'll read down through the end of this chapter, which is through verse 14. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, if there be any other commandment. It is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. This is clearly language that the Apostle Paul is giving to those who are born of the Spirit of God, who are already begotten of God, children of God, belong to Him. That people that belong to Him not because of anything they have done to get themselves in that place, but because of God's work on their behalf, what God has done for them. God's people are a chosen generation. God's people are people that are alive because the Lord's made them alive, and they're alive because He chose them, even in covenant before the foundation of the world, and then worked a work of grace in them, bringing them from a state of death to a state of life. And then He gave them His word and His commandments that we're to keep in order to be able to live that life in a way to bring honor and glory to the Lord. They are a royal priesthood. That means we've been made kings and priests unto God, a royal priesthood. A royal in the sense that we are more than conquerors. We have been made to be victorious and overcomers by faith as we live here in this world, to face all of life's problems, life's troubles, life's heartaches, the things that come on you in this old world in the way of trials and troubles and tribulation. That we have the ability in the Lord, not in ourselves, but in the Lord, we can walk in the power of the Lord, in the power of His might. We can walk victorious in this old world by faith. And faith is the gift of God. We are made overcomers as we believe and trust in the Lord. And as such, we are more than conquerors, made kings, victorious, ruling over even sin that would dominate our lives if we did not submit ourselves to the Lord and lean upon the Lord, sin would take over our lives. Sin would eat up our lives. We know how to sin by nature. Our nature is to sin. We sin because we are sinners by nature. And we sin and fall short daily. But in the Lord, we are able to be more than conquerors of that. We are made to be kings of that. We can rule over that. And in the Lord, we're given a power and an ability to resist the temptations to sin and to walk in a way. Not that we'll ever get completely sin free, but that we are able to not let it have the dominion in our lives to where it is taking the rule of our life, where we habitually and by practice walk in ungodly ways that bring dishonor to the name of the Lord, to the Lord's church, to the Lord's kingdom. And we have the ability and the power to resist those things that could bring us great harm. One of the reasons we're here tonight is to encourage one another to fight that good fight of faith, to battle that in this old world, to be a good soldier, to take up your cross and follow the Lord, to remember that you have the power in the Lord to resist whatever temptation that may be coming your way or may be troubling you. The things that sometimes plague us, envy or jealousy or covetousness, or whether it be perversions of the flesh in a lustful way, whatever it might be, that those things do not have to have the dominion over us, but rather in the Lord we have the ability to walk where those things don't rule our life. As a matter of fact, as God's children, we're told to make sure that that doesn't happen. And in the church, you know, it is so important that we are operating in the Spirit and in the love of the Lord, and be careful that we don't get wrapped up in the flesh and the things of the flesh, where even some of our little harmless joking at times and other things can take on something other than what they ought to take on. And the next thing you know, we've gotten involved in something that's bringing us even some division within. You see, we got an adversary. The Bible tells us about our adversary. He is the devil. He is our adversary. Speaks of him as our adversary, the devil. And the Bible gives us the ability not to be aware of his devices, that we don't have to be ignorant of his devices. Paul said we should not be ignorant of his devices. That means we know how he operates. And the devil doesn't operate by bringing some great big thing on you and convincing you that's the way to go. He operates by doing a little bit of this, a little bit at a time, working this just a little bit, working a little bit over here, working a little bit over there. And when we do not follow the word, when we let the things which we have heard slip, when we take what God says in his Bible for granted, and we stop realizing how much I need a daily feeding on the Word of God, and that I need to be in daily communion and hourly communion, and really to pray without ceasing, or I'm going to falter or fail, and be alert and aware that in this world, if I just stay in neutral, I'm not going to be okay. I need to be positive and growing in the Lord and looking to Him, because if I get lax and lazy about it and kind of start taking things for granted, the old devil just has a field day with our lives. And he can't take your eternal destiny tonight, little child of God. But he can bring you to the place where old David was, where you cried, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He can bring you to the place where a Solomon was, or bring you to the place where many of the dear little children of God, a place of doubts and a place of fear. And we are not to be afraid tonight and be overly, "Oh, we have cares and concerns." We're going to have those in this world. But he said, be careful for nothing. That means to be full of care and worry and concern about what a day is going to bring. We know that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, and we're not to take any thought for tomorrow, but because tomorrow will take thoughts of the things of itself, and we are to trust in the living God who has loved us and taken care of us, and we're to remind one another of that so that we're not living in this world in a way not to honor Him and glorify Him. See, that's the most important thing we do. That's why God made you. He made you to praise Him. He made you to honor Him. He made you to be what He would have you to be to the glory of His name. Whatever He's called you to do, He would have you to do it in His name in a way that will bring glory to Him. Whatever He calls on you to do in this world, to be a wife or a husband, to be a mother or a father, to be an employee or an employer, whatever it is that we are to do, the Bible tells us as God's children, as a chosen generation, as a royal priesthood, as a holy nation, that's a separate nation, a peculiar people, we're to do it in a way to show forth the praise of Him who has called us out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light. And that means we have a light and an ability to walk in this world pleasing and glorifying to God. And you here tonight who have been not your first time here, as I look over this congregation, you've heard these truths, you've heard this message declared, you've heard ministers come and stand before us and tell us how we have salvation by the grace of God, and that's what's carrying us home eternally, and that in time His grace is going to be sufficient to take care of us. You and I have been given much by the grace of God as far as an understanding of what the Lord has done for us. The Bible tells us that if you've been given much, there's much required. That means we have a duty. A duty not in a burdensome way. Listen, I think of the Lord tonight. I think of Him who loved me. And I want you to think of Him who loved you tonight. I want you to think about a God who loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son into this world. And a Son who loved you so much that He went to the cross. And there endured the agony and the pain that you and I can't even imagine. That would have been ours and an eternal torment. That He took that in His own body. And He took our sins in His own body. And took upon Himself that sin debt and paid it in full. And nailed our transgressions, nailed our sins to the tree of the cross. And they will never be remembered against us anymore. And it was love that brought Him down from heaven. It's love that led Him in His life. It's love that He showed to us when He died on the tree of the cross. It's love that put Him in the grave. And love, listen, love brought Him forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And because of that, He is able and does work a resurrection in our lives where we who are dead in sins are made alive in Christ. And that life has been given to us that we might live it to the honor and the praise of the Lord. Duty demands it. But I'll tell you, love causes you to want to do it. Because He's been so... How good has He been to you tonight? I want you to just stop. Little Sister Robin used to say, we'd sing that hymn, Count Your Blessings. I want you to think about all the blessings God has so richly bestowed on you tonight. If we don't do anything but be still before the Lord and think about how good He's been to us. It's been worthwhile being here tonight. We've got an eternal home awaiting us in heaven, and that's something we can't hardly fathom. He's been good to us right here in this world. He's allowed us to know that He's with us. He has been with you in the storm. He's been with me in the storm. He's been with me in those dark hours of my life. I felt close to Him at times in this old world. And I felt the touch of His hand upon my life. I've seen it in the lives of my children. I've seen it in the lives of my parents. I've seen Him working in the lives of the Lord's people. He's given me friends and those that mean so very much to me in this world. And all of those things, I would have not had anything at all were it not been for Jesus. No wonder He is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that is above all others. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He took upon Himself a body of flesh, was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that He might pay a price at Calvary that would take care of our price. You see, if He had come in the form of an angel, He could not die as man and paid a sin debt for man. But He came in the form of a man, took upon Himself a body of flesh, made a little lower than the angels. And there in the humility that He walked in, He endured the sufferings and the pains and the agony of this world. The one who made the world did that in order that He might taste death for every man, and that means every man that He was given in covenant before the very foundation of the world. And when he paid that sin debt, he paid it in full. And then he tells us here to owe no man anything. Basically what that says is pay your bills. Just to put it in plain English. It says, owe no man anything. Now, how do we know that? Because some of the verses beforehand are talking about how you live as a citizen in the nation that you're in. He says, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. Let's get verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but for also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. That means as you live as a citizen in a land and a nation, we recognize the powers, though we don't agree with all the things that are there, the powers that be, we believe are there in place because the Lord has placed them in place. And as much as we can, we're to live peaceably with all men and we're to live as good citizens. We're not told not to pay your taxes and not to pay and follow the law as much as you can. Now, when the law gets so perverted and contrary that it ceases to follow the dictates of the law of God, then that's where things become in question. And we don't know when that might happen. But as of this point and at this time, we have every reason to be good citizens in the land and the nation and the state that we live in. And we're to follow the laws as much as we can until those laws go contrary to God's laws. But then when those laws go contrary to God's laws, we're to be like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. And we're to say, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. That though you say do this, our God says do that. And we're not going to listen to you. We're going to listen to him. And that's where we would have to stand, not arrogantly, but in humility and humbly. And as much as we can, we live peaceably with all men. Then he says, owe no man anything. That means pay your bills as much as you can. And much as you should. But there is something we ought to owe one another. And we do owe one another this. And brethren, this is important. This is something very important. We leave the love that we ought to have. And we leave that first love, our love for Christ. Our love for Christ is directly related to our love for one another. You can't separate the love of God with the love of his people. If we love the Lord, then we have to love those who are begotten of the Lord. And if we love those who are begotten of the Lord, we in turn show our love to the Lord as we love the Lord's people. You can't say, well, I love the Lord, but I can't stand his people. It's a love that goes hand in hand. If you love the Lord, you love the Lord's people. And we are obligated to love one another. And like we've said here many times before, we got to love one another whether we like it or not. We ought to love one another. And the Bible says we're not to be like Balaam. Do what we have to do because it's the only way we can go. But do what we're supposed to do because that's what God says. And we recognize and submit ourselves unto it that that's the best way. He says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now, you want to keep the law, or you want to be following the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, there are a lot of times people want to follow the shalt nots and try to keep all of those shalt nots straight. And as sure as we try to do that, we may keep this one for a little while and then fall short of that or this one. And I'm thankful our eternal home is not based on that, because James says if we're guilty of the law in one point, we're as guilty as if we're guilty of it all. And the righteousness does not come by the law. But it is wonderful to know that God's little children who are born of the Spirit of God are given a love in them, in their hearts, that when they operate in that love, they do keep the commandments. In other words, it's not when we operate in love that we're disobeying his commandments. It's when we stop operating in love that we disobey his commandments. And this makes good spiritual sense. I mean, it makes good, it's understandable to the least among us, that when we do what the Lord has said in loving one another, we're not going to do any harm to one another, and we're going to do it for the right reason. He says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, and there are some, it says it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And it's important for us to understand the order of love. The order of love helps us understand how it is we can love. Matter of fact, if your love gets out of order, you cannot love like you're supposed to love. Above all others, we're to love whom? What's first? What's number one? What's the priority? The Lord. And there's a reason for that. Not only, first of all, He's the one who's worthy of all the love we can show Him, and He's the author of love. He's the one who works in us love to be able to love Him with. He's the ultimate source of love. The Bible says God is love. Without God, we cannot love. And we love God. Why? Because He first loved us. And He's the author of that love. He's the one who's given us that love. And if we don't go to the Lord for the love that we need to love one another, we won't have it. We won't have it. Unless God gives us the love and the ability to love one another in the right way, we won't be able to do that. Because He is the one who supplies unto us love. So first and foremost, we love the Lord. We're to love Him how? With all our heart. With all our mind, with all our soul. And the second of the commandments is likened unto this. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And He says in one place, and these two commandments are all the law, wrapped up in all the law of those of loving the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. Old Baptist, we have a whole lot to do in doing that. And loving the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. Now, how can we do that? Well, we can't without the Lord. And what's good, though, is we look to the Lord for the love that we're to love Him with. He'll give unto us that love. As a matter of fact, if you're able to look to Him, He's already blessed you, hadn't He? With faith to know that He is there and that He is the one that can help me love Him as I ought to. That's why we sing, "Love, I want to love Him more." And why we pray, "Lord, help me love You more, more and more, more and more each and every day that I live." And then as you love the Lord, you help, then you in turn love the Lord's people. He says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That means we're to love our brothers. We're to love our brothers in the church, our sisters in the church. We're even to love our enemies at times. We're to love those, as the Scripture teaches, pray for them that despitefully use you. It's a great obligation to understand that love doesn't mean it's always easy. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. And that's charity. Given in 1 Corinthians 13, it doth not behave itself unseemly. Love is consistent. Love is something that God gives us to operate towards one another. And we need to be very careful that when we're dealing with one another, whether I'm preaching from the pulpit, as I am right now, because a sermon preached outside of love is not going to be beneficial. That's why when we're to preach, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but he must be gentle, and he must operate in love, and he to be firm. He's not to be mushy in the sense of, one way or the other, or flip-floppy as far as that. He's to stand firm on the doctrines of salvation by grace and on the practice of the Lord's church and the practice of the Lord's people and the discipline that's laid down in God's Word. But he is always to deliver that message in love. And that message needs to be shared with one another in love. And may all the things we say to one another be motivated by love. If love isn't motivated, please, brethren, let's just be quiet. If love isn't motivated at motivating our speech, if love isn't motivating our actions, let us not do it, or let us be quiet. Because if it's not done in love, it's not going to help the brethren. It's going to harm the brethren, despite the intent. I can look over my own life as a parent and think about many things that I've said that I regret, not because what I said was wrong, but I forgot that basic principle that I needed to say it more in love. And I'm thankful I can go to the God who loves me and say, God, forgive me for that. And I can go to my children who love me and tell them, I'm sorry, forgive me for that. And try to tell them, don't you do the same thing. Have you ever done that as a grandparent? When you see your kids doing something that you know you did and you know exactly where they got that from? Because when you did it as a parent, they learned how to do it, and then you, and it was wrong when you did it, and that's wrong when they did it. And in love, you need to come and say, don't do that, because that's not the way to go. Now, if you do love, that doesn't mean it's always going to be pleasant. Sometimes love means taking a rod and not spoiling the child and applying that in the right and proper place and in the right way. But it's never to be done in anger and never to be done in malice. I can remember a few of those whippings that maybe I applied one or two more stripes. It wasn't so much love that was driving the switch as it was maybe I just got upset that somebody wasn't listening to me. And where I want to have love in it. Now listen, a preacher can do the same thing with a congregation. A wife can do the same thing with a husband. A husband can do the same thing with a wife. A brother or a sister in the church can do the same thing with another brother or sister in the church. And what that does, it drives a wedge between God's people. And when we have that wedge between God's people, there is a separation that comes between us and the Lord. And our communion isn't sweet, as sweet. Our meetings aren't as warm. And this sweet little place that I know is Happy Creek will become a sad creek real quick. Because we'll lose that happiness. I'll tell you, our happiness didn't just... is. I believe we're happy. I am thankful we're happy. One thing I love about Happy Creek is I feel that it's happy. And I'm thankful for that. But I know this. It isn't happy because I'm here or you're here. If it's happy at all, it's because Jesus has manifested His place, His face here. And He's made us happy in Him. And He's given us love to be able to love one another with. And He's given forgiveness that we might forgive one another with. And He's given us mercy that we might show that mercy as He's shown it to us, to one another. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little excited and got... sister back there loves me enough to tell me to quieten it down a little bit. I'm thankful for it. Open rebuke is better than secret love. That's Bible. That's Bible. That means if you got love for someone and you hold it back, there are a lot of folks who love the Lord, but they're holding it back. They don't come and confess Him openly, where they ought to openly confess Him. They ought to profess Him. Open rebuke is better than secret love. To love someone secretly has no real benefit to them if you're just loving them but you don't tell them, you don't express it. You know, it's like I heard Brother Mint say a long time ago. He said he talked about a man and his wife. Who said they. He said, "The day I married her, I told her I loved her, and I told her if it ever changed, I'd tell her." She said, "All she needed to know is I loved her then, and if that ever changed, I'd tell her." So I'm telling you, that's not going to work very well. We need to tell one another we love you. I love you. Brethren, I love you tonight. I love you. And I love you not because there's so much love in me, because if it was in my flesh, I would only want out of you what I could get out of you. I'd only want out of you what would be to my advantage. I'd only want out of you by nature. And what's true about that with me is also true about that with you. By nature, we have the works of the flesh which are manifest, and not one of them would have us really love one another the way the Lord has taught us. If you're able to have love tonight for the Lord, you are a blessed character, because you have the fruit of the Spirit, which means you belong to the Lord and you will be with Him in glory forever. And there's nothing that can separate you from His love. And if you love Him, that's evidence He loved you, because you can't love Him unless He first loved you. And if He's ever loved you, He'll always love you. Aren't you glad we don't have a, you know, people are fickle. They might love you one day and not the next, but God is not that way. He changes not. And if He loves you today, He'll always love you. That's why the Arminian doctrine of this world that says God loves people, He's going to cast into hell, cannot be the truth, because He would never do that. I'm telling you, those whom He loved, and He loved an innumerable company, more innumerable than the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. There's none of them that will fall away from His love or out of His love. They will be with Him in heaven in immortal glory, and nothing will change that. The thing that happens, though, is that you and I don't love him in return as much as we ought, and we miss a lot of blessings right here. And as a minister over you, as God has given me charge in that regard, if indeed I'm a pastor here at this place that the Lord has placed here, my duty and responsibility is to as much as I can encourage you to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and then love one another. Love those who come among us. Show that love to them. Some of them will come in limping. Some of them will come in with, with things not looking so good. Some of them will come beat up. We know that, don't we? We've been beat up ourselves. We know some of them may be down and out. Some of them, the world has kicked them out and said there's no value, no good in you. God's people can get in all kinds of trouble in this world. When the Lord works on their heart, they're new creatures. There's been a change that's taken place. And they may be in the dunghills. As a matter of fact, every one of us were in the dunghills when the Lord first dealt with us. And when the Lord does that work in their heart, they're new creatures. They're worthy to be loved. You better love them. If God loves them, we better love them. God forbid if he's cleaned them up, we'd ever call them common or unclean and not fit for his love. Because if the Lord loves them, we ought to love them. I love them enough that if I can, I would like to tell them about the truth. I would like to share with them what Jesus did. I would like to talk about his finished work. And by the grace of God, that they might hear that he died on a tree and paid a sin debt for them and has washed them. That I can't make that happen for them, but for everyone that he died for, I want to tell that story, that truth. I want to share that message. This church has been placed here to share that message of Jesus Christ and his love. Like the little hymn writer said, I want to tell the story of Jesus and his love. Don't you like to hear about Jesus and his love? I do. That he could love an old sinner like me. That he could love a woman taken in the very act of adultery. That he could love a Matthew seated at the seat of the tax collectors and the publicans. He could love a Matthew. That he could love a Mary Magdalene. That he could love all that he has loved. That he could, and listen, when I think about me, that he could love a persecuting Saul. That he could love such a wretch as I. John Newton said that he could love. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That he could love me. That he could have a love for me. I hope you feel that way tonight. Amazed that he could love you. And brethren, that's the kind of God we have. He has all power. And he loves with an eternal, everlasting, unconditional love. And he says, we are to love. As he has loved us, we are to love one another. He says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. That means when I want something to happen to somebody harmful, I'm not operating in love, am I? I want to feel the way I'm supposed to feel when I hear news about my brethren. I want to hear, when I hear good news, I want to be rejoicing that there's good news. Never having that, and you know how quick jealousy or any little thing can pop up in us so quickly. So just a little. And you know the devil doesn't come in big, in a wave. He just gives you a little bit, just a little bit, and then he nurtures that and feeds that. And if we give it a place to grow, just a little root of bitterness. You know, a root of bitterness doesn't start as a tree. It doesn't start huge. It just is a little root. We give it root. Let that bitterness just set in there a little bit. Even sometimes we'll say, I'm just ignore that. Does it go away when you ignore it? I'm telling you, you got to deal with that. You got to. Get the weeds out of your garden. If you don't get the weeds out of your garden, it'll overtake that garden. And it doesn't take long for that to happen. Just a few little things and leave them there. And just ignore them and let them grow. And it'll overtake all of the benefit and all the good. And sometimes we're sitting in our church houses and it's grown cold on us. And we got the season's a little drier than it used to be. And in our lives, we may be warm at church, but then go through the week and feel so barren and so cold and wonder what has happened. And then we stop. And as that hymn writer said, have we thought to pray? And then we forget, just, every once in a while, just forget. Let it slip one time or a couple times. Just let it slip. And the next thing you know, it's easier to let it slip the next time. And the next thing you know, we're not communicating with the Lord. We're not thinking about the Lord. I need Him every day, don't you? I need Him. I'm going to need Him in the morning when I go see my little ones that missed Friday because of that flood. And I had a whole bunch of stuff for them then. So when I come to get a double dose on them tomorrow, I need to approach it with some patience. And I'm going to need the love of God for me not to just, you know, try to get. I'm gonna need to trust the Lord. I need Him to be able to do that. Listen, we need Him. Whatever, and what you're doing, you're going to need Him too. You're going to need Him in the day to day walks of life. Listen, He's Lord every day. He's not just Lord on Sunday morning or Sunday night. He's Lord every day. Every day you get up, He's the God of that day. This you ought to say, I want to say it in my mind. I don't always. Listen, I'm telling you what I ought to do. We ought to remember this is the day the Lord has made. And I want to rejoice and I want to be glad in it. And I want to live that day just like it's an exciting day that God has given me. Now, you know, just like one of those days you go like, oh, I can't wait till I get to this spot where we're going to take this trip, or I get to this place where, you know, some great event is going to happen, and we're looking forward to that time and missing all the days that He's given us and not even knowing whether we'll ever get to those days or not. Listen, today is the day the Lord has made, this moment you're living in. I don't want you to miss the fact that He's seated with you. He's holding you right now. You are special in His sight. He's loved you enough to send His only, God the Father loved you enough to send His only begotten Son to die for you. And then He's given us His Word that we can look in tonight and learn this is how I'm supposed to operate in His love and towards one another. And that enriches your life in everything you do. And you say, well, you know, if we operate that way, somebody might take advantage of us. Listen, you can't take advantage of one of God's little children who's trusting in the Lord. You might try to do it, but God will protect His own. As we sing, God will take care of you. And He will. He says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So, if we want to keep the commandments of the Lord, well, then here's what we do. We love the Lord, and we love the Lord's people. We love one another, operating in love. And I'll tell you, that's a good way to live. And that, again, operating in love sometimes means open rebuke, doesn't it? Operating in love means sometimes we have to apply the rod. Sometimes it means discipline. Sometimes it means correction. Sometimes it means I love them enough to tell them what they stand in need of, but we do it always lovingly in the love of God with the best interests of the Lord's people in mind. And we ought to look over one another with an eye of love, not to think the worst of one another, but look over one another for the good and not take the, you know, we so often by our nature just take the, our imagination thinks the worst, usually. We just go like, well, they did that. This is probably why they did it. Now, y'all might not do this. I know you do this. I'm not going. At times you do it. Not all the time. We don't know the motives of people. We don't have the, and certainly it isn't a whole lot better for us when we look over one another for good rather than to find some fault or some problem. And brethren, it's about operating in love. Now, with that in mind, we look at verse 11 and he says, and that knowing the time, brethren, our life is short, isn't it? You just think about how quick the time passes. And not only is our life short, this whole world is short. The time of this world is short. The 6,000 years that we have been here in existence has really been to the Lord. We're talking a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day in light of eternity is just a little while. We have been in the day since Christ has come in this gospel age which we've been living, blessed in the fellowship of the Lord, but it's been very quick. The time is passing, but it's quickly drawing nigh. The time is coming down. We're in the last times, the perilous. It's perilous times, and yet it's a short time. And he says, knowing that the time it is now high time to awake out of sleep. What that means is, today is the day you and I need to wake up to these things. Sometimes God's little children go to sleep. God's children aren't dead, but sometimes they look dead. Sometimes, you know, somebody's really, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again tonight. Sometimes if somebody's really asleep, really, really good, deep sleep, they look dead, don't they? They don't hear people. You can walk right by them. They don't wake up. They're dead. Now, they're not dead. They just sleep. And sleep is a good thing, naturally. And even when a person passes away and their spirit and soul depart from the body, and the body sleep, that's a good thing too for God's little children, because it's sleep. It's just for a short while. It's going to, you know, it's nothing wrong with that. It's to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But there is a sleep that is not a good thing, and that is when God's children are spiritually asleep. And that's what this is talking about. When we're not attuned to the workings of the Lord in our life, when we're not aware of His manifest presence with us, when we're not attentive to what He would have us to do, when we're not communicating with Him and also listening to Him and His Word as He has communicated to us, when we're walking in a way that we are spiritually asleep, as if God has never really done anything for us, and when we get like that, we look like the world, we act like the world, we fuss like the world, we don't look any different than the world, and we cease to shine the light that the Lord has put in our hearts, we cover that light with a bushel, and the salt that we are has lost its savor, and we're not of any benefit spiritually as God's little children are supposed to be here in this world. And God's little children can get in that state. That's why He's warning them here. He says, it is high time, and that sounds like something Daddy would have told me. It's high time you got busy, boy. And you know, I understand that kind of language. That means not later. That means, you know, after a while. It means right now. It's the time right now. Today is the day of salvation, the deliverance that comes in trusting in the Lord. He says, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Brethren, I want us to be awake as a church, as an assembly of believers. We want to be awake, that we're answerable to the Lord. It's high time that we awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. And I love that language. Remember when you first believed. I don't know when that was for many of you. I know I can run in my own mind when I first believed anything. I was just a young boy and the time has flown by. And I remember, and a whole lot of things I didn't understand about the Lord. I just knew that there was a Lord, and I wanted to love Him, and I wanted to follow Him, and I wanted to be obedient to Him. And I knew if I had that want later on, even though I didn't understand it at the time, the reason I had that want is because He'd worked that want in me, and that's something He had done for me, not something somebody else had taught me or given me. I had a lot of people trying to teach me a lot of things that didn't mean very much or anything to me until all of a sudden something changed and I began to worry and be concerned about my eternal home, my eternal destiny, and my fellowship with the Lord. And then I was able to believe. And I, by the grace of God, through faith He had given me, be able to believe. That belief didn't make me alive. It just let me know about the life that He had given me. And it's been a long time now. Seemingly a long time. Well, the Bible says, my salvation, our salvation is nearer than that time. It's closer. Today, we're one step closer to heaven. Today, we're one day closer. Every day that passes, one step nearer. Either we'll be there by death when we leave this world, which would be fine if that's the Lord's will. I'd rather, like Brother Roundtree said many times, he said he wasn't looking for the undertaker, he was looking for the upper taker, and he was hoping the Lord's going to return and carry him out of here and he wouldn't have to go by that way. That would be wonderful. There's a day coming when the Lord's going to, there's going to be a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful to know that that's going to happen? And we look and long forward to that. Look forward to that. And that day of redemption is nearer than when we first believed. And so, as evil as this old world is going, it hasn't changed the reality. The Lord's coming back and He's going to set all aright. And He is already on His throne and He rules and reigns in righteousness. And He's given us His kingdom here in this world, and we're living in that kingdom and the righteousness and joy and the peace of and the Holy Ghost. And one day He's going to gather us up and take us home to be with Him forever in heaven and immortal glory. And our salvation is nearer than when we believed. And that means we ought to certainly be living like it. You know, sometimes we're living like we're stuck here forever and never going to get out. Well, listen, that's not true. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. That means the living in the darkness of this world and the things of this world. He says, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And the Lord talks in the book of Ephesians, and we won't spend a long, long time there. But He talks about us putting on the armor of light. He's talking about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, putting on all of that armor for the warfare that we're in, and He gives us a full preparation to fight whatever battles that are in front of us in this old world. He gives us a helmet, which is His salvation, the hope of salvation. He has our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He has on our breastplate the robe of righteousness. We have a breastplate of righteousness that He has given us. He's given us the shield of faith that's able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He's given us a sword to carry in the battle, which is the Word of God that guides us and directs us, that is an offensive weapon. He's given us our loins are girt about with the truth. And so we have and all of this is about Jesus Christ. And that's the armor of light that He's given us to wear in this world. And when we do that, we let our light so shine before men that others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And as that, we are the light of the world and we are the salt of the earth. And yet if the salt loses its savor, it's not of any benefit. And if the light is put under a bushel, it's not any benefit. So we're to cast off the works of the darkness, and we're to walk in the things that He's given us to walk in. He says, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife or envying. They are the natural things of this world that will rob God's little children of their testimony and their witness in giving honor and praise and glory to the Lord. And He said, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Brethren, we have a great deal to do here in this world. Now, as old Baptists, a lot of times we talk about we don't have anything to do, and there isn't anything to do that can add to our eternal home and our eternal salvation, which is secure and finished in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as God's little children, we have a battle, a warfare, and we're to put on the whole armor of God, and we're to proceed faithful in the battle, and we're to occupy until the Lord comes. We are to stand firm for the faith. We're to stand for the truth. We're to declare it in our lives. We're to declare it with our mouth. We're to declare it with our feet. We're to declare it with our actions. We're to declare it and our love for the Lord as we love one another. We're to carry it in our homes. We're to have mercy and truth to be manifest in our life. And we can only do that by and through the grace of Almighty God. But I'll tell you, that is a highway and a pathway of peace and rest and joy in this world. And I thank the Lord that He has allowed us by His grace to find, and not only find, that He has led us and guided us in a way of truth that we might understand and know these things, and walk in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. And if we're ever able to do it, even when we've done it on our best day, here's what we're still supposed to say. I'm just an unprofitable servant. I've simply done that which was my duty to do. And it's all done in gratitude and love because of what He's done for us. You never get to where you bring God into obligation. I'm so thankful we understand that. We could never pay Him back for what He's done for us. We could never do that. But because of what He's done for us, we ought to be better, oughtn't we? We ought to walk better, act better, talk better, live better, and all of it to His praise and His honor and His glory. And I appreciate your kind attention tonight and your love and your fellowship. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. the Lord. God bless you. What number?
126.
126.